Sergio's start of the week is off to a fantastic start, and that's why he's the best in the business. This is Fantasy Pick and Roll, your exclusive basketball podcast here at CBSSports.com. I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Joining me, as always, is the aforementioned Sergio Gonzalez. Michael Beasley comes off a game Wednesday night with 21 points, 9 rebounds, leads the Heat in scoring, and you know what? Sergio was right. Michael Beasley is playing well. Serge, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Sergio and I are playing head-to-head in one of our fantasy leagues, and he is crushing me because I started Danilo Gallinari with his 2 rebounds, and Sergio has Brook Lopez, and his dominating performance, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday. I'm not going to win. Sergio's going to end my undefeated
no reverse win streak.
There is no believe me.
I'm the king of that.
You are doing everything possible to allow me back into the game with Dwayne Wade not playing well this week. However, my team has not showed up. So unless it's a strong finish and a good kick, but I don't have I believe I was down to you in starts. It's a head-to-head league,
right.
So I think you're going to pull this one out.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll see.
As much as I would like the reverse whammy, I don't think it's going to happen. Speaking of Gallinari, I want to get into Eddie Curry because we saw him return to the court Wednesday night against Indiana. Wasn't horrible. Didn't look bad.
Right.
Is he somebody to run out and pick up now? 10 points, 4 rebounds?
Yeah, we've actually been talking about this even in the preseason that the Knicks are going to get him on the floor. They need an inside presence. They haven't had any this season. And I know Eddie Curry, he's the butt of a lot of fantasy jokes. He's burned a lot of people in the past. But he's also had some significant numbers in the past. And fantasy owners, if he gets any kind of run in that New York offense, like it looks like he might get, he could be a real steal, especially in leagues where centers are hard to come by.
Who does he impact more? David Lee? Al Harrington? Doesn't matter?
I think he could have a negative impact on David Lee, but I don't think it's to the point where fantasy owners should be concerned. He could take away some of his rebounding. But as far as it being a negative fantasy impact, I wouldn't be too worried about David Lee at this point.
The biggest rumor going around right now is Allen Iverson to the Knicks.
Yeah.
Do we want to see that happen?
Yeah. If you're a fantasy owner, absolutely. He likes to take a lot of shots, and the Knicks like players that like to take a lot of shots. So I think that'd be a very good mix for him. He wants to prove that he can be not so much the player that he's been for all of his career, but that he can still be a player that can contribute as far as scoring and leading a team. And who knows, if he turns the Knicks even into a playoff contender, then he looks like a hero. So I think it's a good fit for fantasy owners in particular.
Now, obviously there's another team at the moment in need of a point guard with Jameer Nelson being out now for at least 4 weeks with knee surgery. That is going to be a big thing for owner fantasy owners to overcome because Jameer Nelson's he's not a great starter, but he's a solid starter.
Yeah,
he's a number 3 guard at worst.
Right, and unfortunately, this is starting to become a real trend with Jameer Nelson is that you can't count on him. He's been banged up to the last 3 years, and fantasy owners have had to almost account for the fact that he's going to miss long periods of time. And this is already the case early on this season. But when he's healthy, he's a low end. He can be a low end number 2 guard. Mm-hmm. He had a run last season in the first half before he got injured, that he was a number 2 quality fantasy guard in any format.
It's going to be interesting to see how the production is spread around for the Magic. Now, in the first game without Nelson, Rashard Lewis, who just comes back, nearly has a triple-double, 17 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. He leads them in assists. Is he going to handle the Hedo Turkoglu role of the ball-handling skills, or is this just something that was a product of the game and the way it unfolded? Because obviously Vince Carter can handle the ball. They're going to use Jason Williams as a starting point guard. He had 5 assists, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists.
How many threes did he have?
How many threes did he have, or did he attempt?
Did he attempt?
I don't have the box score in front of me. I'm just looking at the game tracker, but I'll look it up. And we know that they'll use J.J. Redick, who's not really a point guard. They'll use Anthony Johnson off the bench. Jason Williams attempted 3 three-pointers and made 1 of them. That was his only field goal.
Yeah, he's had some spotty performances. He had a few games early on in the season where he did all right. As far as Jason Williams, trusting him on a long-term basis is probably not a good idea. But when the Magic have good matchups, if you're in a league that has more than 12 teams or more, he could be one of those players that you play based on you pick him up off the waiver wire when he has good matchups.
And yes.
So I wouldn't invest too much in him, but I wouldn't ignore him.
Are we encouraged so far by what we've seen from Steven Jackson? He had 26 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists in his game against Philadelphia on Wednesday. Is that something that we can expect? He led them in scoring. They did not win the game. They lost by 2. In his first game, he was decent. We saw Boris Diaw play well in that game also. Jarrell Wallace, 11 points, 12 rebounds against the Sixers. They didn't have anybody really go off besides Steven Jackson, but it looks like he's going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah, and this is something we talked about in our last podcast. We've been talking about this since the trade. The Bobcats needed a go-to guy, and I think they have that with Steven Jackson. And the other thing that we thought could happen, and I think it's starting to happen a little bit, is that he could kickstart the surrounding players around him, and I think that's something that we can see with players like Boris Diaw, with even Raymond Felton in the backcourt, and Gerald Wallace. And I think over time, I think this team is going to become less and less stagnant offensively, and it's going to help all the players around him, not just Steven Jackson. But as far as fantasy owners being concerned that he was leaving a team like Golden State, where it was obviously an offensive powerhouse, to go to a poor offensive team in Charlotte, I don't think that's going to impact him.
Elton Brand in that same game finally has a dominating performance, 19 points, 11 rebounds. Do you think he's ready for a renaissance? He's going to turn things back and start playing like the Elton Brand we know? Or is this just a one-game scenario?
It's now or never for him. With Maurice Spates injured, if it wasn't going to happen now, it really was going to be time to even consider cutting Elton Brand in fantasy leagues.
Wow.
I think the fact that he was able to have this one good game is a step in the right direction, but let's see him follow it up with a couple more games. Spates is going to be out for a while, so he's definitely going to have the chance to step up and produce. Can he be Elton Brand for over the course of an entire season like he used to be with the Clippers? Probably not. So Elton Brand becomes a player that you might want to consider selling high on while he's putting up even these types of numbers while Spates is out. Because when Spates comes back, there's no guarantee that he's going to be able to keep this up.
What do you do with Shaquille O'Neal?
I think with Shaq, you treat him as – I think – people weren't drafting him to be anything more than a number two center at this stage in his career, and I think he can still be a number two center. With number two centers, oftentimes they're players that you start based on matchups. And Shaq, I know last season he had that renaissance year in Phoenix where you could once again kind of plug him into your lineup and forget about it for a while. I think that's over now. We warned fantasy owners about that going into the season. In Cleveland, things were going to be different. So you just have to play it week to week and hope to get the most out of Shaq. But he wasn't going to put up the numbers that he put up in Phoenix last year. We were trying to warn fantasy owners about that as much as possible. And this is what you get with Shaq now.
Anton Jameson comes back, 31 points, 10 rebounds against Cleveland. Andre Blatch, is it time to drop him now that he's back?
It depends. He's still center eligible, which means at some point in the season, it's likely that you could get some juice out of him still. Obviously, his numbers are going to decline with Jameson back and Brendan Haywood healthy. But, I mean, if anything happens to Brendan Haywood, all of a sudden you get a player that for the better part of the early part of the season was averaging 14 points and 7 rebounds. So if you can afford to stash him, I say he's well worth it. Well, just because of his center eligibility.
Let's play the who would you rather have
all
game.
Right.
Eddie Curry or Andre Blatch?
Eddie Curry.
Andre Blatch or Nenad Krstić?
Nenad Krstić I would not have on my roster unless I was starting him that particular week based on matchups. So I wouldn't stash Nenad Krstić where I would stash Blatch because he has the ability to get you 14 and 7 on a regular basis like he did for the first few weeks.
Regular basis is
no, he did. He did it for the first
if
part of the season.
If he's playing, though,
that's what I'm saying. At some
now,
point,
though, different story.
Nenad is playing and he doesn't have that ability. And you're talking about stashing a player that at some point could have that ability in Blatch. So depends if you need he's obviously not a player that you should keep you from picking up a player that you need just make a start in a particular week, but if you have more than 4 reserve spots and you can afford to stash him away, yeah, I think he's well worth it because of his center eligibility.
Zydrunas Ilgauskas given Shaq's ails or Blatch?
See, I think Big Z right now is in the same ballpark as Krstić because of his lack of playing time. So I would keep Blatch. Unless, again, if you need Big Z to step in for a particular week. So I wouldn't let Blatch be the player that keeps you from picking up as a Zydrunas Ilgauskas because you need a center for that particular week. But if you're not starting Zydrunas, I'd rather have Blatch because of his upside on my bench.
Last one. JJ Hixon or Andre Blatch?
Well, Hixon's not center eligible.
They're both forwards.
But yeah, Hixon, I would plug into a lineup right now. So yeah, I would take Hixon.
The Golden State Warriors are trying to make shift with their lineup, given the fact that Jackson is gone. Rajah Bell plays Wednesday night against Boston, but we know he's going to opt to have surgery. So Rajah Bell is not somebody to target or add or even use going forward. I'll tell you what, Serge, I like what I see from Corey Maggette. I think he's going to be a fantastic fantasy option in the next few weeks, maybe even for the rest of the year.
Yeah, Maggette is a player that we think because of the absence of Azubuike and now because of the weaknesses that all of a sudden the Warriors have in their backcourt, he's a player that's going to be counted to play big minutes and get a lot of shot attempts in that offense that we know is much heralded for being so potent for fantasy owners. So as long as he continues to get the kind of run he's getting, he can be a player that can get you around 17 points, 5 rebounds, maybe a couple assists per game and some fringe stats on the side. He's getting around 30 minutes per game. He's getting around 15 shots in the offense. He can get you a 3 per game, and I think he's going to continue as long as the Warriors continue to be banged up.
New Jersey gets two outstanding performances on Wednesday from Chris Douglas Roberts and Terrence Williams. They both get 10 rebounds, which is a huge surprise for their size and their
right
spots on the floor. Can this continue? The Nets have not won a game. They're 0-12. These guys have been in and out of really the lineup in terms of their production and what we've seen from them. Can they be starting fantasy options at any point?
Oh, I think Chris Douglas Roberts is absolutely a starting fantasy option. We had him pegged as a breakout candidate coming into the season. He hasn't disappointed. He got off to a little bit of a slow start. He wasn't very aggressive in the first couple of games. But once, I don't know if he had a talking to by somebody on the Nets, Brass, or somebody, he started attacking the basket. He's getting to the foul line.
Maybe he got healthy with the flu.
Well, this was even before the flu, because even right before the swine flu was when he started to catch fire. He was scoring around 20 points per game. He was getting to the line, even double-digit free throw attempts, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He's become more aggressive as the season has gone on, and he's very confident in himself. He's got the role, as we talked about going into the season, with the Nets not having many go-to options, even now with Devin Harris. He's been banged up. I think he's got the role, and he's got the ability, and he's got the confidence right now to put up the numbers that he's been putting up the last couple weeks, and I don't think it's a fluke. The swine flu was really the only thing that's been able to slow him down this year since he got that confidence.
In Milwaukee, we're looking at a scenario where Michael Redd is still not back. No indication of if he's going to be back in the next week. No indication if he's going to be back to the level that we hope he was going to be back at because of his knee injury. Who knows how long it's going to linger. When you're looking at the Milwaukee Bucks, it's obviously Brandon Jennings is a must-start at this point.
Right.
Andrew Bogut is a must-start at this point because of his position.
Right.
After that, is there anybody on the Bucks that is considered A, holding on to on your roster, and I'm going to throw some names at you, or B, starting options? And we're looking at guys like Carlos Delfino,
right,
who had a nice game Wednesday night, 21 points, 4 rebounds. I'm not even going to try and pronounce the guy's first name, but Ilyasova.
Ersin
Ilyasova, mm-hmm. Who had a decent game.
He's had a few.
Two games
early
ago.
Early on this season, yeah.
Charlie Bell, who's somebody that I think we both were looking forward to seeing take a step up with Red out. He hasn't done that.
No, it has not happened.
And then Luke Ridenour, who's had a couple of good games here in a row.
Yep.
Any of those guys worth picking up and starting?
I think Ridenour is the guy that takes a step back when Red comes back. Red could be back actually over the weekend. So it's actually, if you're looking at a short-term solution, I think Ridenour is a little bit of a trap. Because
but wouldn't that be Delfino also?
Delfino also. But Ridenour, I think, is a little bit more appealing now because of the games he had this week. Mm-hmm. So I think he could be a little – he had 17 points in back-to-back games. So I think he could be a little bit of a mirage where fantasy owners think, oh, he's going to be putting up these kinds of numbers. But with Red back, I think they both Ridenour and Delfino take a step back. Even Luke Richard and Mbamute has had a couple of decent games. But I think with the Bucks
– no.
No, no, no. I think with the Bucks, you're
no.
you're looking. No, no, I'm saying,
no.
I wouldn't pick him up. With the Bucks, you're going to be looking at a lot of erratic play outside of their big guys, and their big guys right now is really just Jennings and Bogut. So outside of those guys, I wouldn't look to start or stash anybody outside of weeks where they play 4-game weeks and have very favorable matchups, and you're in desperate need of a 1-week injury replacement or a stopgap, but. Other than that, I wouldn't carry too many bucks on your roster.
I would assume a lot of fantasy owners are like myself, where they get confused between who is Chuck Hayes and who is Carl Landry. They are the same player. They look alike. They do similar things in terms of their production.
One is a lot better than the other.
But is he?
Yeah, I think Landry, I think he's starting to separate himself. He had the one game that stopped the streak of like 19 points in a row. But I think I'm looking at it right now. 27 points and 9 rebounds on November 17th against the Suns. He had 15 and 9 against the Lakers. He had 20 and 4 against the Grizzlies. I think he's establishing himself as a...
Then he has 5 points against Minnesota.
Every once in a while, you're going to get a clunker, but I mean...
And Hayes has a double-double.
In that game. Right now, Landry's giving you more of those big
without
games.
Question. Right. Landry's the guy to own.
Right.
But can the tide turn a little bit? I mean, in the simple fact that Hayes is still the starter. Landry comes off the bench.
Yes, but I think that's good because he's looked upon where Hayes is looked upon as like an afterthought a little bit with the first unit. Landry is looked upon as a go-to and scorer with the second unit. So yes. I think that benefits Landry.
Looking at Minnesota, we get a big game from Al Jefferson, similar to Elton Brand. It's almost like these two guys are going to be tied at the hip. When one does well, the other one could do well.
Right.
We talked about this on the previous podcast about potentially sitting Al Jefferson, similar to Elton Brand.
Right, because Al Jefferson was a sit this week because of the fact that the Timberwolves had two games. He did have 20 points and 10 rebounds, which is, I think, great news for fantasy owners because prior to his two-game absence, he had a personal he took a personal leave. He was not performing at Al Jefferson caliber levels, and I think this is a sign that he can still be that player that he was drafted to be late in the first round, early in the second round. Remember, he's coming off a major knee injury, so the further he is removed from that, the more he can get back to being Al Jefferson. And he's a player that a lot of fantasy owners have written to me and said that they're worried about. I think that 20 and 10 game is a sign that you shouldn't be so worried about Al Jefferson.
I want to give you credit, and I want everybody that's listening to our podcast to sit down.
Oh, boy.
Relax.
I have no idea where this is going.
Take a deep breath, because the Memphis Grizzlies have won a game.
Yes.
They're 3-8. Their playoff push is underway. Here they come.
Hey, if you remember, the caveat with this was if Allen Iverson was there. Allen Iverson is no longer there.
I don't recall
that. So I have an easy out now.
I do recall a Mike Conley's the best point guard in the history of the NBA.
No, I thought
Jason
Mike Conley
Kidd
should
done.
Be their point guard.
Steve Nash has
but
nothing
I,
on Mike Conley.
No, I'm going
John
to take
Stockton,
the,
who?
I'm going to take the easy way out. I had a clause in this whole deal that the Grizzlies were going to be a playoff contender with Allen Iverson being part of the mix. He is no longer part of the mix, so I'm taking the first exit I can take. I'm out.
In any event,
I'm out.
The Grizzlies, you could drop Mike Conley in all league. He's terrible.
No.
He's horrible, Serge.
He's
not
horrible.
He's horrible.
He did this last year as well, where he had a horrible first half and then
with a different coaching staff, and then they went to Hollins and he took off, and now he's horrible
now
again.
Now he's horrible again, but
and
maybe
they brought in Allen Iverson for a reason. Now they bring in Jamal Tinsley for a reason. He is not a good fantasy option. He may be able to run this team.
Good fantasy option.
When? For a month last year?
No, the second half, post All-Star break last year,
okay.
He was a good fantasy option.
Well, he was bad his rookie year. Mm-hmm. He was bad the first half last year, and now he's bad all of this year so far.
Yes.
What's the anomaly?
He's bad.
Thank you. the Los Angeles Clippers, give me two injury updates. The first one on Marcus Camby. What are we looking at with him?
He's day-to-day. Marcus Camby is...
So he's Marcus Camby.
Yeah, he's Marcus Camby. He's day-to-day for the rest of his career. So
Eric Gordon, are we going to see him anytime soon, or is it still another week?
Gordon could come back by Monday of next week, which is going to make him a bit of an injury risk. He's dealing with a groin problem, and we know how that tends to linger. That's already been the case a few times with other players in the NBA this season. He's going to be an injury risk for the upcoming scoring period. But it does sound like he could come back as soon as Monday.
Well, that would be encouraging. Are we looking at consistent play from Andrei Kirilenko for the rest of the season, or is it going to be up and down and just sort of a good week you start him, maybe bench him when he doesn't have such
good
matchups?
What I think the constant that fantasy owners can expect from Kirilenko, I think, is the peripheral stats that he offers, the stats that have made him so great as a rotisserie league owner. As a rotisserie league option in the past, the blocks, the steals, the decent rebounds from time to time, and some assists, the scoring is going to fluctuate, and I think that's where fantasy owners have to play the matchups. And if you're using him for help in those other areas and category-based play, I think you can count on him as a week-to-week starter without a problem. If you're counting on him for scoring, that's going to fluctuate depending on the matchups. And actually, looking ahead at week five, I'm not too big on the Jazz's matchup. So if you're in a head-to-head league, next week might be a good week to sit AK-47.
Tony Parker misses the game Wednesday night against Dallas, and Manu Ginobili gets hurt in that same game. How concerned are you about those two guys?
Very concerned. It looks like Parker is going to deal with this for more than a few games. He's doubtful as we do this podcast for this is Thursday afternoon. He's doubtful for Thursday's game. I'm very concerned because he dealt with an ankle injury in the preseason, stemming from his time with the French national team. Mm-hmm. It's something that's going to linger, and we've seen with teams like the Spurs that have playoff aspirations that they're not going to bring their star players back until they're 100%. Mm-hmm. So this could be something that lingers well into the next couple of weeks. So fantasy owners are going to have to pay close attention to that. Right now he's day-to-day, so it's possible he could return over the weekend. But these are the injuries that turn from day-to-day to week, so keep an eye on that. With Ginobili, he has a groin injury, and that's, again, something we've talked about that has been lingering so far this year in the NBA.
Obviously, Richard Jefferson becomes a must-start because he's been sort of a marginal starter for some fantasy owners. He becomes a must-start with those guys injured.
Right.
What about, and I know you don't like this guy, but George Hill and Roger Mason Jr., because we saw these guys step up last year. We also have Finley in the mix. Do any of those three guys, Finley, Mason Jr., or Hill, get a significant fantasy boost enough to be worth starting options?
Yeah, Hill, I think, he'd be worth taking a flyer on in deeper leagues. I like the Spurs matchups in Week 5. But it's too reliant on Tony Parker's injury. So I wouldn't I'd consider him too risky unless...
But do you pick him up and stash him in case this injury lingers for...
I'd pick him up. I'll tell you what. I'd pick him up if I had Parker and stash him.
Okay.
I wouldn't waste my time if I didn't have Parker, because his fantasy value, once Parker's healthy, is completely out the door. Mm-hmm. So
they're not starting options. They're just potential reserves.
Hill, I think, would be a starting option in a daily league when Parker's out, or in a weekly league when Parker... Say the Spurs come out and say, all right, we're going to shut down Parker for the next week, and Hill's going to be the starter. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I start him, because if not, you're dealing on with Parker on a day-to-day plan. He could return at any point and just completely knock Hill out of the equation. So I would only start him if Parker gets knocked out for a significant time.
I wanted to pose a scenario for you, and you tell me what you think. If we know that Eric Dampier, who's dealing with some sort of an illness or ailment, if we know he's going to be out for a significant amount of time, and you're guaranteed that Drew Gooden is going to stay healthy for the rest of the season, is he a must-start option?
Absolutely. His last couple of lines are
amazing.
Amazing. I mean, number one elite center type numbers. Obviously, this is a caveat that we have to talk about with multiple eligible players.
He's the number one forward.
Well, the numbers he's putting up right now make him a number one regardless.
Double doubles. He's getting points. He's getting rebounds. Right. He's just been fantastic.
But in leagues where he's eligible at center, that just adds so much more to the equation. He had one game, I think we had 22 points and 14 rebounds. He's giving blocks. He's giving you everything. I just don't know. Once Eric Dampier comes back, do you think the Mavericks take this into account and say, all right, we know what Dampier is. He's a good rebounder, and he's a shot blocker.
And a defender.
And a defender. But if we're getting rebounds and blocks and a good inside presence, even on the defensive end from Drew Gooden, do you think they just continue to play him and just kind of push Dampier
aside? I think the goal was to bring in a guy like Gooden, to bring off the bench, to provide a scoring punch that they don't have to rely on Dirk. He is a guy you can throw the ball inside to that you can't do that with Dampier. He has a little bit of a hook shot. He's got
an offensive game, which Dampier doesn't have.
Right. Is he going to play his last three games, 37 minutes, 40 minutes, 36 minutes? As you mentioned, that's been with...
All wins for the Mavericks. So
yes, that's been
with... Do they take this into account and just...
Well, Dampier's also helped them get to a finals. Dampier's helped them get to multiple playoff appearances. I think it's going to depend on how healthy Dampier is. You know,
right.
if he's out for a significant amount of time and this continues to happen, then absolutely they have to take it into account, and it's going to be a Lou Gehrig, Wally Pipp situation. If Dampier comes back at some point soon and Gooden, you know, maybe has a couple of slow games. We are talking about a guy that has a history in this league. It's not like he's someone that just popped up out of nowhere. You know, he's somebody that's an injury risk almost every night because you never know if it's going to be a shoulder. He's not the toughest guy in the world when it comes to dealing with injuries. You know, he has a rib strain, he's out. He has a shoulder strain, he's out. When he's played fantastic. I look at it this way. I picked him up, you know, to catch you up since our last podcast. Sergio has convinced me smartly enough on his part to make a big trade in my keeper league where I traded Johnny Flynn, Mario Chalmers, and Steven Jackson to get Chris Bosch. It's made my lineup a lot more significant. I had to pick up two players, one of which was Drew Gooden. And I did it before the Wednesday night game against San Antonio, not only because he's center eligible, but because he's good when he's healthy and getting minutes. And so I think we all like the move for him to go to Dallas this offseason because we know Eric Dampier is what he is. They've never given him 40 minutes a game when he has guys on the team who are healthy. And they need an inside presence because Dirk, as great as he is, has no post game. He is not a post player. Never has been, never will be. So Drew Gooden gives them a different element off the bench. Now, there are a lot of mouths to feed there. Sean Marion did not play, right?
Right.
In that game Wednesday night?
Yeah, he's backed up.
So that's part of it also is that no Marion and no Josh Howard. So when they get all those guys back.
Howard's not going to be back until late December.
Yeah, but still, when you get all these guys back, and when we're talking about adding a guy like Drew Gooden, don't drop someone of significance for him. Don't run out and drop a guy who's – don't drop Elton Brand for Drew Gooden. Don't drop Al Jefferson for Drew Gooden.
Right.
Don't make drastic moves because the guy's been struggling. Don't drop Manu Ginobili because he's banged up for Drew Gooden.
Right.
You don't make those kind of moves. However, if you are looking at a guy who's been struggling, Ramon Sessions, who you've been carrying, give me some examples of guys.
Guys who've been underperforming this
underperforming,
year?
Up and down players. You know, if you have a roster spot that you've been tinkering with, you know, if you have an IR spot that you've been stashing guys on.
Mike Conley.
Mike Conley is somebody you would definitely drop. But, you know, keep in mind, here's the thing with Gooden. No Marion, no Howard, no Dampier. So that's allowed him the opportunity to play like this. If you could trade him, now's the time to trade him.
Yeah, he's a sell high
candidate
because of those options those factors that you just mentioned.
Yes,
but fantasy owners, I actually consider Gooden a good start for the upcoming week, even if Dampier comes back. I like the Mavericks starts matchups in week 5. They have a 4-game slate with favorable matchups, especially in those leagues where he's eligible at center. I think he can. I wouldn't expect 22 and 14 from him on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he could be a suitable 1-week stopgap at center. We're eligible.
Guys that are dealing with long-term injuries at this point, Tayshaun Prince and Richard Hamilton.
Yeah, there's no timetable for the return right now.
Well, Prince, the last thing that I read was he's not going to play on the 4-game road trip that they're on. He's hopeful to return when they get back.
Right.
Hamilton's also not going to play on the 4-game road trip. But the interesting thing about it is both guys traveled. So that's always a good sign. Whenever you see guys who are injured, especially they've been out for a long time, when they travel, that's usually a sign that they're going to continue to work out with the team and potentially get back. So they're not getting treatment. That's a good thing. So hopefully when they get back from this trip, they lost at L.A., I believe, the first game, and then they lost at Portland. If they could get back and get those guys healthy, then you can maybe use them. But I think for the time being, you got to bench them.
Yeah. And what they do to other players, the fringe players are the ones you want to keep an eye on, like Will Bynum, players that have stepped up in their absence. Rodney Stuckey's performed above what he's probably capable of when the team's at full strength. So that's something you want to keep an eye on if you own those players as well.
What's the latest update with Chris Paul?
Chris Paul is going to be treated on a he's going to be monitored on a day-to-day basis, but right now it seems like a week-to-week injury. So I would not expect him back within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Who's your start of the week for this week?
For this week, it's going to be Chris Douglas-Roberts, who we talked about earlier. I like his matchups. I think he's not starting in enough leagues for the numbers that he's putting up right now. He's doing it all, folks. So you're going to want to get him active if you've got him.
And your sit of the week is?
I have not determined that yet. Actually, you're going to have to pay attention.
Look at you.
And keep an eye on that over the weekend.
Sergio with the radio tease. Check out everything we do, fantasynews.cbssports.com and cbssports.com. Send us your emails, dmfantasybasketball@cbs.com. That's dmfantasybasketball@cbs.com. Sergio, what's your Twitter account?
It's @CBSGonzalez.
@CBSGonzalez.
I need some followers, people.
Twitter.com/CBSGonzalez. You can follow me as well. Twitter.com/JamieEisenberg, JAMEY. We will talk to you again following the weekend, and we promise we'll read some emails. We're getting them. We're just not reading them. I keep forgetting. It's my fault as a bad host. In any event, we will we'll get to everything you have, and we hope to answer your lineup questions on the air, as well as check out everything we do, Sergio's Start and Sit, his weekly planner, and check out all of his videos, CBSSports.com, FantasyNews.CBSSports.com. For Aaron Brown, Aaron Brown, Adam Azer, and Sergio Gonzalez, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for listening.